This is Roro's Rantings with Israel activist and advocate Rolene Marks.
I jumped the gun. I was too keen to talk to you.
It's okay.
That'll serve me right.
There is a story where Occupier Barbie comes from. You know, it was during Tsuketan when on Twitter somebody decided to tweet me and call me a vacuous bimbo who should be called Occupier Barbie. And I actually thought it was hilarious.
If you took it in the right way,
hilarious. So, you know, I commented on Facebook that, you know, somebody had called me Occupier Barbie, and I think it's quite funny. Uh-huh. And the name kind of stuck from there. But, yeah, it was better than being called a garden potato, which is what somebody else called me.
Yeah, so. without a doubt. So, really,
love on the internet, so much love.
Yeah, that's a topic all on its own. But for today, let's talk about the fact that the IDF opens an investigation into the raid that killed Lieutenant Colonel Emma.
Yes. So what is customary with the IDF is that when there is any kind of issue, or there is a death, or there is an argument over what has happened during some kind of conflagration or during an engagement or hostilities, what normally happens is that the IDF, because Israel is a democracy and the IDF is part of a democracy, is the IDF will engage in their very own investigation. So today the IDF announced that they were launching two separate investigations into the operation that opinions went awry in the Gaza Strip early in the month, and which a special forces officer, Lieutenant Colonel M, was killed and another soldier injured. We don't often get updates about his health, but we have heard he is improving, for those who are wondering what his status is at the moment. And one of the issues that will be investigated is how come they were exposed by Hamas operatives or terrorists, which led to the exchange of fire, which killed Lieutenant Colonel M. So that will be happening. And also, we know that as a result of the raid, or the botched raid, Hamas engaged in a massive 3-day attack on Israel. In fact, the strongest yet, along with other terror groups in the Strip, firing about 500 rockets and mortar shells at Israeli cities and towns, and taking us, as you and I chatted, very, very, very close to the brink of a full-scale war. And there are many discussions why we did not engage them boots on the ground, as many people were expecting Israel to do. So we're going to be watching these investigations, and we're going to be following as to what happened, that they were A, exposed, and B, Lieutenant Colonel M paid with his life.
Rolene, and your economy minister, if there's such a term, says he has received an invitation to a Bahrain conference.
Yeah, so yesterday we were chatting about the fact that ties between Israel and the Arab world and the Muslim world, especially Muslim Africa, are really, really warming up. We've just seen the unannounced but very welcome visit by the president of Chad, Idris Deby, to Israel. And today Prime Minister Netanyahu announced that he will also he will be reciprocating by visiting Chad, and this will be to establish formal ties between Israel and the African country, which is a very, very positive move indeed. We are wondering just which African countries will be following suit after this. But we also chatted a little bit about Bahrain, and that the ties between Israel and the Arab world are also warming up significantly, especially Gulf states. And Eli Cohen, who is our Minister of Economy, not to be confused with our Finance Minister, Kahlon, he said that he has received via Switzerland an invitation to a conference in Bahrain. He hasn't commented whether or not he will be attending said conference, which will be taking place next year. But this is a very, very welcome move indeed, as we really are trying or trying to move forward to establish or normalize ties between Israel and this part of the world, which is very, very strategic. And quite interesting, I saw reports today as well that the Palestinians have called for an emergency meeting
of
the Arab countries. Yes,
Al Jazeera seems in a flat panic about this, actually.
Well, I saw that headline that they were in a flat panic, but they're very, very concerned. We'll use a little bit more delicate language, that they are concerned, / in a flat panic, about the fact that Israel is making such incredible strides into the Arab world. I mean, you know, one would expect that we would hope to have a situation where, you know, we could move towards some kind of peaceful resolution and normality in this region which has been volatile for hundreds of years. But I guess it just goes to show you that we don't seem to have very good partners on the side of the Palestinians who are sincere about peace.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the other thing, because I'm not rushing you today, actually, we're very lucky. We crossed early. We're not zooming through it. But it is interesting to me that this Khashoggi issue is almost being pushed so hard by Turkey in order to, it seems to me, what's the word I'm looking to, split this Shiite alliance, Sunni Israel alliance. And I just wonder to what effect the murder of Khashoggi is going to be a very dangerous thing for Israel going forward and threaten all these alliances that are being put in place as we speak, because clearly these visits are part of that.
Well, I don't know how much of a role the murder of Khashoggi will play, but what it has done is expose the hypocrisy of Turkey, who are, you know, up in arms about this, but they don't exactly have the greatest human rights record when it comes to the treatment of journalists themselves. That's actually quite interesting. While we're talking, the Foreign Press Association on the phone to me, but What is very interesting with Israel and the ties with Africa in particular is that the African countries are not really that interested in politics. They are interested in what can Israel do to help Africa. What is extremely interesting is that both African countries, or many African countries, and Israel, our stories mirror each other. You know, they understand that we were a people exiled from our homes. They understand that we were a people also subject to colonialism, which is something we don't talk about often enough. But our homeland, our ancient homeland, was colonized. You know, they respect the fact that we've returned to our ancient homeland, and that we are building this homeland, and that we are making huge strides in the world in terms of medical and technology and scientific and agricultural and security. And that's what they're interested in. They're not interested in politics. And it would be extremely petty on behalf of the Palestinians and any other country to try and, you know, put a spanner in the works with that. So this is what African countries are interested in at the moment.
Interesting that. And just apropos absolutely nothing, it was a little fact that I heard some time ago and it just resonated with me really strongly. But they say in the history of Africa, the only time that Africans were not stolen out of Africa and put into slavery was the Ethiopian immigration to Israel. The only time the black Africans have left Africa, not into slavery. And I just thought that was a really interesting fact. But anyway,
absolutely. And it's quite extraordinary, the story of how Israel was able to bring our Ethiopian community from Ethiopia, from the situation in Africa, into freedom in Israel. you know, as we're still in Israel's 70th year, and we can look back and really laud these extraordinary achievements in such a short period of time.
Rolene, and finally, Israel holds – actually, not finally. I've got something I want to ask you after that. Israel holds a major drill to deal with a possible two-front attack.
Well, look, we're under no illusions that we have two Iranian-sponsored proxies, one in the north with Hezbollah and one in the south with Hamas in Gaza and other elements within the Gaza Strip in Gaza. So our soldiers, our IDF, not to be caught unawares, have begun this week to fight or go through a drill on both sides to try and prepare for any kind of situation. And, you know, a lot of us have speculated that should we be pulled into any kind of conflagration with one entity, perhaps the other entity would try and open up a war on two fronts. And we heard just this weekend Iran using inflammatory speech, again calling Israel a cancer that needs to be wiped out, and receiving international condemnation for that. So we are under no illusions with who we're dealing with, because we are dealing with, at the end, these Iranian-sponsored proxies. And we understand too well what their intentions are. So we don't want to be caught unawares, and we want to be prepared for every possible scenario. So what we do know is that there is a lot of cooperation with the Israeli Air Forces, with certain commander units within the IDF, and this will be happening throughout the week.
So bizarre that that is your reality, and here we are in this like peaceful Johannesburg where nothing could be more further removed from our reality than missiles raining down on us. Like, where from? From who? Well, where? Why? We don't live like that.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, as we live like this, so it is also very, very peaceful. You know, you can walk around. It's very peaceful to walk around. It's very safe to walk around. In Israel, you wouldn't know, unless you lived in certain parts of the country, that we do face these realities. It's very peaceful, you know, in the major centers, unless there are terror attacks. But for the most part, everything's pretty chilled, but we are prepared for any scenario.
I've always had a difficult time trying to explain that to friends of mine when they ask me whether Israel is a dangerous place. And it's so difficult to convey to them the fact that it's the place, the one place in the world where you just feel absolutely 100% entirely safe. You know, riding back at 12 o'clock at night from Habima Theater in Tel Aviv to your Airbnb, that you are 110% safe. You know that.
Well, unfortunately, do we support Airbnbs these days?
Oh, man, Rolene, you didn't need to do that there.
That's slowly being eroded. But, you know, what we can tell people is that we are always safe. We are always extremely safe. And if there are scenarios where we are in a time of conflict where there are missiles or rockets, we are very, very well prepared. We know what to do. And that is thanks to our army, in particular Pikud HaOref, which is the home front command, making sure that we are prepared for every scenario, that we know how to get to our shelters. I mean, during Tzuk Eitan, when there were the Hafsakat Esh, you know, whether or not there were 5 minutes or 5 hours, we were all on the beach. But we knew if we heard the Azaka, if we heard the sirens, we knew exactly what to do. Once that was over, we continued going back to the beach. So, you know, those are the realities we live with. But also, not to be blasé, we do face a very, very real threat. And, you know, our gratitude to the IDF, to the IAF, and also to two institutions that we don't talk about often enough, mostly because they operate in secrecy, the Shabak or Shin Bet, and the Mossad, who also play their very, very important and vital role in making sure that we are safe.
Rolene, as always, thank you for speaking to us. That's where we're going to leave it. We will chat to you tomorrow.
Simon, always a pleasure. I feel closer to you now that we've shared so much this afternoon.
There you go.
A great one. All right. We'll speak tomorrow.
Cheers, Rolene.